Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. Why? Because you deserve it, damn it. You're good. People like you. And Dave and Tim are here to give you the warm embrace of supernatural news and parashare on another Saturday. Thank you for joining us. Halloween just around the corner, Tim. What are you going as this year?
I was just going to go as a flour sack ghost, same as last year.
Just a flour sack ghost?
Yeah, I got a couple of eye holes cut out in a flour sack, and it's a sad Halloween, really. It's kind of a Charlie Brown Halloween, to tell you the truth.
I'm going as a strange and elusive mythological creature, Tim. Yeah. Something that people claim to see, but you and I have yet to see. I'm going as the McRib, fabled McRib, Tim.
Oh, Dave. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Something that has to be like a unicorn. It's elusive. It never really existed, is my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go as the McRib. To some, terrifying. To others, a delightful taste treat.
I told my sad story last Sunday about the McRib. Tell me at least you had a good experience with the McRib while we were in Chicago.
I can't say that I did. I got to tell you, in all honesty, I had a couple of McRibs when I was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that my eczema flared insanely after each time I sat down to eat a McRib.
Really?
I'd eat other food and didn't have it, but the 2 days that I had McRibs, within an hour, my stress eczema on my hands and face were out of control. I went to do a talk at my old high school.
Right.
And I settled in and had a couple of McRibs earlier in the day, and then by the time my presentation was over, my face was all blotchy and red. My hands were all broken out. It was brutal.
Seriously?
Brutal. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, it must just be, I traveled a lot. I'm tired. I'm stressed. It was, I'm in my old high school. I wanted to perform well, so it must have just been that. And then the next day on the way in, I had two more McRibs.
Uh-huh.
And then I broke out again within another hour and a half of eating them, and my hands were miserable and torn up. They're still not completely healed from that damage, but I haven't had another flare-up the way I did. I mean, usually I use some cortisone on my face to stave it back, but I don't know. Is it just coincidence? Could it be the fact that, all the stress from that first day, and then the second day you're in that car wreck? And, I got that message shortly after I'd imbibed in a couple of them. Was it just the added stress of worrying and concern about you? I don't know, but I didn't want to test the theory again because I was afraid, what if my body's rejecting it because Minnesota refuses to let me have it? It doesn't want to let me down. So it's just like, no, we shall not have this anymore, Dave Schrader.
Dave, I don't want to say this, but, you had issues while we were in Chicago. I had issues while we were in Chicago. And there's only one thing that ties the two things together, my friend. And I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it out loud.
Does it rhyme with McShrib?
Yeah, it does. Could it be that there is a curse around the McShrib?
It could be. Maybe just because we don't have any in Minnesota, so we were never meant to have them. Maybe there's a reason behind it, Tim.
Maybe.
I don't know. Wouldn't it be something if our state doesn't get them and then we find out that they're being recalled because they're causing excessive hair growth and people to thin out? Hey, wait a minute.
Hey.
That doesn't sound so bad after all.
It doesn't. It sounds like a wonderful blessing.
How do we sign up for that deal after all?
I know.
Well, I had a great time in Chicago Paracon,
yeah.
In spite of what happened to you. I shouldn't say. I had a very disturbing moment. last week when I was doing my presentation. I was very excited. It was my first official presentation about the Holzer files.
Right.
And I've been giving presentations for 13 years now, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my nerves get in the way. I'm terrified to do public speaking, but it's like I've, you know, in the beginning, I would go up on stage and come off and have no memory of what just happened.
Right.
I've gotten past that now. I have my memories. But as I'm through most of my talk, about 10 minutes left, my head starts banging like crazy.
Uh-oh.
And I start sweating and I just feel off. And I hadn't had a McRib that day, so we can alleviate that.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, let's do some Q&A. And I look at my watch and I muddle through the first question or so. And there's only 5 minutes left of my talk. And Philip Booth of the famed Booth Brothers asks me a question. And all of a sudden, I start to see sparks in my left eye. Like, you know, I'm seeing sparkles and it's tunnel visioning. And I'm like, oh no, I'm either going to vomit profusely or pass out. Because I could feel this wave of nausea. My head was sweating like crazy and I started shaking. And I set my microphone down in the middle of his question. I said, hey, everybody, thanks for coming. I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening, but I suddenly feel like I'm on fire. I'm having trouble. I'm going to go now before I pass out or throw up in front of a room of strangers. So I had to excuse myself. It was quite humiliating, quite embarrassing.
Yeah, Coach had told me like you had taken you'd went to wipe your head and you had a whole handful of sweat.
Right.
Like when you went to wipe your head and
Yeah, it was bizarre. I went in, I exited quickly, went to the restroom and sat down just to steady myself. I had to hold on to the bar because I literally did think I was going to take a header. And it was sweet. One of my friends, Eric, was there and all of a sudden I hear the bathroom door open and I look down and this hand reaches underneath with a cup of ice water and he goes, here you go, buddy.
Aww.
And then he left me alone. But I drank a couple sips of the cold water and it kind of started to revive me. I don't know what hit. It was crazy. And then I ended up a massive migraine and went up to my room and laid in my underwear in ice cold room in pitch black for about 2.5-3 hours before I was able to join everybody at the after party. So it was, but I know it sounds like, Dave, you just said you had a great time at the convention. I did. That was the only real moment of poop.
You know,
that happened.
The next thing that was on after you was the last wrestling match of the day. I know it sounds weird wrestling at a ghost convention. It believe it or not, it went over pretty big as I'm hitting my microphone. I had to hit something. Every time I hear wrestling, I have to hit something. That's why I watch it by myself. So I was upstairs, and for a change, because the first two matches we had, we didn't have any music to introduce the wrestlers with, because I went down and I said, okay, well, who's running music? And they all looked at me like I had just spoken French. And I said, nobody's running music. And they said, well, we don't have like a soundboard or any, you know, CD players or anything like that. And I said, well, have you asked anybody if there's a sound system? And they all kind of looked at me like, sound system? And I went, oh, geez, okay. So, the local guy who was there, who was supposed to be, you know, promoting, along with the guy who was promoting, didn't really get together and talk too much, you know, to talk about how we were going to get music for the wrestlers, right? And nobody then talked to me. So I could have solved their problem in about 10 minutes if they would have just talked to me, right? But nobody talked to me before I went to ring announce. So I said, well, you know, we could probably get the music situation handled by the main event. So when you and I had talked before my talk, we were using your laptop for my talk. And I thought, well, you know what? I could probably load their music on a drive, and whatever laptop is up there, I could probably load it into Windows Media Player, and I could play both of their themes as they come out. We could actually sound, you know, somewhat cool. So I was upstairs and I was loading the last theme because, you know, the internet at the hotel was a little slow, and I'm downloading it, and I got a text from one of the wrestlers. It said, get down here now. And I was like, get down here. And I'm almost done. I've got 30 seconds left on this download. They said, no, get down here now. Dave's not feeling well. I think you had put your head into the locker room, which, God love you, that's a brave thing to do.
Yeah, might have been what really knocked me down is the smell that was coming from the wrestler's room, which was right next to where I was doing my presentation.
I think so. And God love you, people, if you've never put your head into a wrestler's locker room, it smells like cheese and death. I don't know, like overripe cheese and death. It's a horrible thing. So Dave put his head in there, and I think you had said something like, go ahead, Tim, and take it. I'm not feeling well, or something to that effect. And then I don't think you realized I wasn't back there because I'd gone up to download these
things. Just was like, I'm going to turn it over to you quick. And hey, Tim,
yep,
start your wrestling now. Because I was like 3 minutes early from
yep
what time I was supposed to do. And I'm like, I'll see you guys later. And I walked out. So,
and normally I'd be down there, but I was trying to hurry up and get these things right downloaded. So and the internet was just slow as molasses. So and I'm like, come on. And I was going to run down because I was going to have somebody stall for me real quick while I loaded up the themes. So the themes weren't downloading. Everything was kind of melting down a little bit. And I went, oh, gosh, I kind of as fast as I can walk with this boot. I walked down to the ballroom and I just kind of picked up the mic and here we go. You know, you just kind of roll with it and do what you could do. I didn't even have time to walk over and see if you were OK. I just kind of walked over and got the thing started and away we went. It was just like, get down here. And I'm like, okay. You know,
yeah, it was very strange. I don't know what happened. Like I said, it was a migraine. I'd woken up from a kind of a migraine-y headache that morning, mm-hmm, and thought I beat the thing back and I was okay. But I think what it really came down to is I hadn't eaten in 22 hours. Then I ate, just before I went out and did my talk. And I think, you know, all the blood left my head and went to my stomach to work on the food and a migraine just kind of kicked in. So I hadn't really had any water that day. I had just eaten and it was hot in that room. I had a packed room, which was great. So many great faces. I just felt really guilty. So if you came out to meet and greet and do pictures and autographs and I ducked out on you at the end there, I do apologize. I literally thought I was going to either start dry heaving in the room in front of all these people, which I didn't want to see show up on social media.
Oh, yeah,
or
yeah,
I was
yeah
about to take a spinner and hit the ground. So either way, I just didn't want that video appearing and I wanted to get out of there. And it was embarrassing, humiliating that all happened. But thankfully, nothing long term. After getting to my room and resting in the cold and dark, I felt a world better. So again, thank you to Ursula Bielski for having Tim and I out to this cursed event. But it was good overall. And since you brought up wrestling, Tim,
yes,
I've got some. So today's Parashare and Supernatural News.
Okay.
We're going to get to Supernatural News in a minute. But today's Parashare is brought to you by the WWE.
It is.
I have 10 WWE stars who claim to have seen ghosts. And here's the stories that go with it. I'll read a story in between your news stories today, Tim. How about that?
Okay, sure.
And we have some phone calls, by the way, 651-300-4977, the number to call and leave your voicemails like our callers did. But first, the late, great Rowdy Roddy Piper was one of the most popular wrestlers of the 80s and 90s. He was certainly my favorite wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
In one of his most memorable matches, Piper took on his close friend Adrian Adonis at WrestleMania 3. While it was this fierce rivalry when the cameras were on, both Piper and Adonis were very, very good tight friends behind the scenes and had known each other since their early 20s. Well, when Roddy received news that his colleague and former WrestleMania opponent had tragically perished in a 1988 car accident, he was no doubt distraught. However, Hot Rod would encounter his late colleague at least one more time. As the story goes, Piper was returning home from a road trip when his son darted out of the house screaming, the boy claiming there was a mysterious man inside. When Piper burst in to confront the intruder, he noticed logs had tumbled out of the fireplace and started a small blaze. While the wrestling star worked on putting the fire out, he reportedly encountered the ghost of Adrian Adonis, who simply said, "Hey, Roddy." Piper believed that his friend's spirit watched over their home, which Adonis had encouraged him to buy, and was looking out for the family through the afterlife. So as ghost stories go, it's a touching tale. Still, one has to wonder if the whole log on the floor thing was really necessary. But I guess that's part of the flash and dazzle of the WWE, Tim.
That it is.
And all right, where are we going next in our world of supernatural news?
I was just going to add, I know I might have said it before on the show, but Roddy, at one time, I went to get his book autographed at the Mall of America. He was doing a signing at the Planet Hollywood, and Roddy had had a few pops and maybe a few, you know, shots of scotch. So he was well in his cups, and he took one look at me and offered to train me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you take him up on it, Tim? Did you become a famous, world-famous wrestler?
No, Dave. That's why I'm sitting here with you. No, I looked at him, and I just said, Mr. Piper, with all due respect and apologies, I'm allergic to pain.
There's that.
So exactly what I said to him. It's one of my biggest regrets. I wish I would have, but I didn't. There you go. That's the story. Let's get into our first story here, which has to do with, speaking of traitors. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Some people think this guy's a traitor. Other people think he's a hero, Dave. But we're talking first about Edward Snowden, who searched the CIA's networks for proof that aliens exist. What's that?
What did he find?
Well, here's what he found, Dave. I thought he probably looked for political stuff, but turns out he was on an alien hunt all along. PSA for all those Area 51 stormers, chemtrail believers, and climate change deniers, Edward Snowden has searched the depths of the U.S. intelligence networks and can report the conspiracy theories are not true. Oh, boy. Here we go. As a former employee of the CIA and contractor for the National Security Agency, Snowden had access to some of the nation's most closely held secrets, and like any curious mind with access to the CIA's version of Google might do, he went in search of answers to some of the society's most pressing questions. As it turns out, the U.S. government is not aware of any intelligent extraterrestrial life, according to Snowden. He says, quote, for the record, as far as I could tell, aliens have never contacted Earth, or at least they haven't contacted U.S. intelligence. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? U.S. intelligence? I'm just kidding.
Ouch. Just wow. Saying.
That's what Snowden writes in his recent memoir, Permanent Record. Also, the moon landing did indeed occur. So go ahead and throw that conspiracy theory out the window. In case you were wondering, yes, man really did land on the moon. Climate change is real. Chemtrails are not a thing, he adds. Boy, he's just breaking them all up, isn't he? He's just grinding them into the carpet as he goes along. The NSA whistleblower addressed those conspiracies again on an episode of the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, because why wouldn't he? Released Wednesday, saying there's no evidence of aliens and chemtrails and the like. Boy, he might as well just come out and talk about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny while he's at it. I know. Snowden joked to Rogan, I know, Joe, I know you want there to be aliens. He said that to the podcast host. I know Neil deGrasse Tyson badly wants there to be aliens, and there probably are, right? But the idea that we're hiding them, if we are hiding them, I had ridiculous access to the networks of the NSA, the CIA, the military, all these groups. I couldn't find anything, he continued. So if it's hidden, and it could be hidden, it's hidden really damn well, even from people who are on the inside. To be fair, the man revealed a massive program of surveillance run by the U.S. government and is now living in exile in Moscow as a result. If the U.S. government was keeping secrets about aliens and UFOs in Area 51, surely Snowden would have been the one to find out. So why are people on the internet so keen to believe in conspiracy theories? Well, that's a question that Snowden does have an answer to. Are you ready for this? He says,
I'm ready.
He says, everybody wants to believe in conspiracy theories because it helps life make sense, he said on the podcast. It helps us believe that somebody is in control and that somebody is calling the shots. That's life according to Edward Snowden.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Snowden. Hey, here's life according to Dave and Tim, all the great guests we have on the show. You're looking for the books. You want to know more about the cases, the stories, the movies, the things that we talk about. Well, we've got it now. Just go to darknessradio.com. Click on the store tab. And you'll find that you can order a signed copy of my book, The Other Side, right there on that page. But there's also a link to our Amazon page, and we're putting up our favorite books, DVDs, and everything else that is associated with the paranormal, all the fun stuff in our Amazon store. So you'll be able to find it and be a part of that. So just go over and check out darknessradio.com, click on the store tab, and it will show you how to order my book, or you can click on the link to take you to our Amazon store and find all the great books and things that we have. As promised, it's time for another story from the WWE. Though the former WWE employee doesn't really reveal the exact location he stayed at, Jon Moxley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose, has gone public about his haunted hotel tale. While working out at a hotel gym in England, the current AEW standout noticed a clock on the wall with hands that were moving rapidly at a very abnormal rate. While the former Shield member thought the movements were strange, he decided to continue working out and not let superstition get the best of him. However, when Moxley decided to take a final gander at the clock, both hands abruptly stopped at 12. Understandably, startled the pro wrestler, ended up leaving the gym in a hurry. Ambrose believes he was taunted and haunted by a ghost of old England. Was this simply a case of road-weary wrestler's imagination running wild, or were supernatural beings trying to tell Moxley to take his workout elsewhere? All right, Tim, where are we going next in the world of supernatural news?
The next one is an Audio Daily Double Dave. We go to Baltimore, where there's a restaurant named Bertha's Mussels, and it's famous for its food and drinks, but now it's famous for its paranormal residents. We'll go to that Audio Daily Double now to get the story.
A Fells Point cornerstone, Bertha's, is famous for their food and drink, their bumper stickers, their altered stickers, and for this.
So do you talk to the ghost?
I do.
Every day?
Well, no, that was way back then.
Laura Norris is one of the owners. When working upstairs, she says she's felt its presence and even asked for safe passage.
And so I kind of stammered and said, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going home. Bye-bye.
In fact, there are so many ghosts here in the wind.
With the tails up and their fur all bushy.
One ghost story follows another.
You can see that it actually was a face.
But it's one thing to talk about it, and quite another to see one.
Yeah, this is it.
Melissa Rowell gives ghost tours that start at Bertha's. Recently, one of her clients sent her this photo. Okay, no biggie, but look closely at the third floor window. What's that?
I haven't seen those pictures.
Here, let me point out a few things. The vague image of a little girl, her hands stretched out through the window. That's what people are seeing, and it coincides with a ghost story from here.
And people had seen the same little girl skipping in the other room.
Do you feel anything?
No. Do you?
I'm open-minded about it.
Tony is Laura's husband, the other co-owner. Ghosts? Sure. He's heard a lot of stories in his bar.
My friend Bob saw ghosts constantly. Well, he worked by himself upstairs.
Too. It's definitely coming out of the window. You can see the building behind your hand. Yeah.
Who's the ultimate judge? You are. Ghost? Optical illusion? One thing's for certain. That third floor area is sealed off. No one was up there the night that picture was taken.
So there you go. Kind of an interesting little tale of a ghost up in a window, Dave, that has made its appearance in photos, but you've got some of the one half of the owner that believes it and the other half of the owner that doesn't know what to think.
That is weird. The photograph is interesting, too.
It is.
I don't really know what to think. Usually I look at these things and I go, ah, baloney. It's a smudge. It's this. It's that. No, it's a weird picture.
It is definitely a weird picture, and it's very clear, which is odd. I don't know what to think either.
Well, since we're in the Audio Daily Double category, why not mix it up and truly make it an Audio Daily Double? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to hear from our Voices from Beyond voicemail. One of you amazing listeners called in to share your story. We love you so much for doing so that Tim is willing to have your babies. So let's throw that now. Remember, if you want to call in and share your story, 651-300-4977, Tim. That's 651-300-4977, or Voices from Beyond voicemail. That's what this caller did.
Hi, Dave and Tim. I love you guys so much. I've been listening to you since I was 14. At midnight, and I just listen to your show all the time. I love it so much. Anyway, this didn't happen to me, but it happened to my dad. He always told me this story. One time he was staying at my aunt's house, and it was the middle of the night, and he was sleeping in the other room, and my aunt was with her husband sleeping in their bedroom. And all of a sudden he heard screaming, and so he went in the room and he saw a black mass on my aunt, and she was struggling and screaming, and it seemed like she was choking. She was 8 months pregnant, and my dad said that he jumped and wrestled this black mass while my aunt was screaming, and my aunt's husband did not wake up. And he wrestled with this black mass for, he said, 15 minutes. He was sweating profusely. He was, you know, hysterical, and he was calling on the Lord to help him and give him strength. And in the morning, after he, it just left, and he, like, slept on the floor in their room, and my aunt's husband woke up, and he was like, "What the heck are you doing here on the floor?" And he's like, I wrestled a demon. I believe it was a demon. It was evil, and their presence was horrible, and it was choking my sister, and he had gashes on his arms from the bed, like the bed frame, and they did not believe him. They did not believe him one bit, but he, to this day, does believe it. So, anyway, just wanted to share that with you guys. Love your show, and can't wait to hear you next week. Bye.
Well, there you go. It's just that easy. You call in, you share a story, we play it here on the air. All right, Tim, where are we going next in the world of supernatural news?
Interesting article here, Dave. The Travel Channel has asked its different celebrities who you would take.
Celebrities, you say? It asks celebrities?
It asks what celebrity you would take on a ghost hunt. Oh. It's different paranormal investigators. Says here what celebrities. I threw in the word celebrities because, you know, they're on TV, and I guess maybe I overstepped my bounds. I gave them credence.
Let's reset. All right, Tim. So where are we going for our next story?
The Travel Channel has asked its paranormal investigators, Dave, what celebrities they would like to ghost hunt with. There, I've recalibrated. And in the
AKA put me back in my place. I get it.
Yeah, there you go. Don't overinflate the old noggin there, buddy. And in time for Halloween, Travel Channel reached out to their paranormal investigators with the question, what celebrity would you like to take on a ghost hunt? Well, needless to say, the answers they received were very interesting. There's a common thread here from most of the investigators that were asked. One actor in particular was mentioned several times. Oddly enough, he played a Ghostbuster, and he used to have a television series dedicated to supernatural events. If you haven't guessed it by now, it's Dan Aykroyd. From 1996 until 2000, Aykroyd was the host of Psi Factor, a series about scientists who routinely investigated otherworldly phenomena. What's interesting is Siri just turned on when I said that. It was weird, wasn't it?
Very weird.
That was. Okay, we'll do that again. Phenomenon.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Right. Weird. It is also no secret that Hans Holzer's work was the inspiration behind his script for Ghostbusters. This is where the worm turns there, Mr. Schrader.
Uh-huh.
Because you're up first. According
As
to the...
As it should be.
Wow, look at you! You!
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I am Darkness Radio Dave Schrader.
Well, it doesn't mention that here in the press release. You didn't do such a good job of promoting that, did you?
Son of bitches.
According to the press release, Dave Schrader of the Holzer Files, nowhere else.
Hey, mentioned. That's me.
Yeah, that would be you. And Haunted Salem Live, they attached you to that too, chose the actor to be his partner in an investigation because Dan comes from a long line of paranormal researchers and investigators. That's what they said.
That
you
does.
Said.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Amy Bruni of Kindred Spirits, as well as Jason Hawes of Ghost Nation, echoed their colleague's sentiments. Now, I'm only saying this. Dave isn't saying this, so don't attach this comment to Dave, but they put Amy Bruni and Jason Hawes behind Dave Schrader. Neener, 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 neener,
boom.
Neener.
Boom!
Just saying. Hawes's partner, Steve Gonzalez, also chose Aykroyd. However, he did mention a certain thespian who is quite well known for dispatching demons with a chainsaw. Yes, Ash Williams himself, Bruce Campbell.
That is a pretty good choice, too.
That is, yeah. Good choice there, Steve. I'll give you that one. What makes Gonzalez's choice fascinating is that 2 years ago, Campbell held auditions for a reality show where the contestants would spend the night in a haunted house with him. Unfortunately, that idea never came to fruition. Zach Baggins of Ghost Adventures would rather take one of his diehard fans along on a hunt instead of a celebrity. Oh, Zach, come on.
Yes.
Buddy. He wants to take Joe Rogan. Come on.
Oh, wait. I want you to repeat that line beforehand. He wants to do what?
He wants to take Joe Rogan?
No.
Oh.
The line before that.
Buddy.
Oh, no. The line in the story. Zach Baggins wants to do what?
He wants to take one of his diehard fans along on a hunt instead of a celebrity.
He wants to take a diehard fan instead of a celebrity. He wants to take Joe Rogan.
I know. That's what it says in here.
That's right. Your wheelhouse, Tim. I thought you'd dig that
since you're not a big Rogan fan. It did. Yeah. I'm kind of tickled by the line. yeah. So it says, Joe tackles the occasional bizarre topic on his show. Joe was also I'm so disappointed. Was the favorite of Jack Osborne and Tanner Wiseman of Destination Fear. Jack, come on. But of all the people he could take, Jack could take the Prince of Darkness himself on a paranormal investigation. He's right. He grew up with him, for Christ's sake. He could take him along. Talk about the ultimate trigger object.
Welcome to Triggered with Tim Dennis. The mere mention of the name Joe Rogan sends this poor man off.
I'm just saying, of all people you could take with you on an investigation, you could set Ozzy freaking Osbourne with you, and he could hold a bat in one hand and a microphone in the other, and you could have all kinds of spirits show up, right?
That's correct.
You're bringing Joe Rogan with you. A guy who couldn't ask a spirit a question if you gave him an hour and cue cards.
Oh, my God.
Just saying.
Oh, my God. He's gonna put you in a submission hold if we ever come into contact with him. I want you to know that. And I'm not going to tap in and help you because Joe Rogan probably just beat me up with his left toe.
Sure. He has no interest. He's no interest in meeting us.
Oh, God. All right, get back to the story.
We were in the same airport with him. He wouldn't even look us in the eye. Let's admit it.
That was before he realized that he was in the presence of TV's Dave Schrader. I give him that one. He probably thought I was just Rick from Pawn Stars, and nobody wants to talk to that guy.
That's true. Jack's co-host, Katrina Weidman, would rather work with National Treasure Golden Girl Betty White. I don't blame her. I would, too. That would be one.
Is it because she's probably closer to death and would have that bridge a little easier to gather? I don't know.
The veil is very thin there, Dave.
Very thin. It's wafer thin.
It's very easy to get communication when the veil is very thin there. Ghost brother Dalen Spratt, and I agree with his choice here too, apparently has a crush on Rihanna. And in his words, this is why she was his top choice. It's the only way I'm going to get a date with her. Yeah, Dalen. Play ya. Dave Tango of Ghost Nation, again, makes my disappointment list, feels that A-lister Tom Hanks would be up for the challenge of dealing with the spirit realm. So the top paranormal trigger object here is Wilson. Come on, Dave. We can do better. Do better.
I got nothing.
Mm. Well, Billy Tolly of Ghost Adventures has an interesting choice. He requests Morgan Freeman. He says because Morgan Freeman portrayed God in various movies, I think because he just wants somebody really cool to narrate his entire ghost hunt.
That very well could be. He does have a magical golden voice.
He does. I just think he wants a narrator for the ghost hunt. That's what I think. There's another week of Travel Channel's Ghosttober left. You can catch the premiere of Destination Fear. Actually, it airs tonight, 10 p.m.
Right.
Yeah.
Dakota Layden.
Yeah.
From Ghost Adventures is now on his new show, Destination Fear. So very cool. Check that out.
Local Minnesota boy. Actually, the entire cast is from Minnesota.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we want to see a local show here. So Destination Fear tonight at 10.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, as promised, Tim, I've got WWE stories.
Oh, yes.
Years before she defeated AJ Lee to become the youngest Divas champ in WWE history, Paige encountered an opponent of a different kind, a whistling ghost.
Oh.
She was just 13 years of age. The former Absolution leader was walking up the stairs one evening when she heard a mysterious whistling noise behind her.
Huh?
When Paige looked back, no one was there. She continued on up the stairs and once again heard the strange noise. At that point, she was a terrified teenager, and she darted up the stairs, slammed the door behind her. However, the closed door didn't stop the restless spirit from pursuing the future WWE superstar. When she heard the supernatural stalker approach the door, Paige screamed in terror. Her mother soon arrived on the scene to comfort the frightened adolescent. When Paige explained what had happened, her mother revealed that one of the home's previous owners had passed away there. If the Total Divas star tale is true, it would seem the previous resident wasn't quite ready to leave. How about them apples? You like apples, don't you, Tim?
I kind of like Paige, I'm not going to lie.
You know what else we like? We love football. Dun, and it's time to talk about our football picks this week, Tim. This is the point in the show in which we break down with the great football minds that we are. And I'm saying that very tongue in cheek, Tim.
Yeah, very.
However, I will say this. We are still holding our own against the likes of Adam, I'm on too damn many shows, Corolla.
Right, yeah.
And Steve, I've been hitting ahead too many times, Austin.
God. Yeah.
What? Am I wrong?
No, I mean, you know.
I have a question for you. Am I wrong?
No.
All right. I didn't think I was wrong.
No.
Yeah. So we're still battling it out with them. And we've got some great stuff going on. So I'm glad that we're able to chit chat about this.
Yes.
Because it's week eight. All right. We've made our picks. We're ready for you to make our picks. And remember, this is what's going on. We pick five picks every week. And we lock in one of those picks as our guaranteed winner. We're so sure of it, we give you the score of that game. And then if we win, if our team, Team Darkness, pulls it out, then we get $500 to reward to listeners of our show that are also playing along at betonline.ag. And there's a $5,000 season-long charity contest involved. So you can be a part of this with us. Go to betonline.ag to place all of your bets, whether it's NFL, college football, or now the World Series. All this is heating up with games that you're gonna want to be a part of and not miss out on. So you can visit our good friends and exclusive partners at Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account. That's right, a free account, and make sure to use the promo code Podcast One for your 50% sign up bonus. That's PODCASTONE, and you'll get a 50% sign up bonus. A lot of great games coming up. You can visit betonline.ag, and don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your 50% sign up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And they've taken our bet. You're going to regret, because Tim and I are ready to cash in, son.
That's right.
Tim? Are our picks this week? First of all, we have a winner chicken dinner.
Where are you?
Dave, you guys are on. You're on a Sunday, and you're telling us a game you picked on Thursday. Good for you. You picked a game after it aired. No, we had to send these in last Tuesday.
That's right. Yeah,
back off, busters.
Yeah, we have to submit our picks on Tuesday. Yeah. So we can submit for both Thursday and Sunday games. We submitted our Thursday game because our Minnesota Vikings were playing, and for once, they're not mediocre. So we learned our lesson.
Wow, they won last week. I want you to know that last week we lost again because Tim was so sure the Vikings wouldn't win.
No,
Detroit.
It was reverse. Huh. It was reverse psychology, Dave. What I did is I called over to Winter Park and I went, "Nah, you're going to lose the Lions. We bet against you." And guess what? They won.
Yeah, unfortunately, I lost because I bet 50 simoleons, Tim.
Did you
on you saying that the kiddies were going to whip the tails of the Vikings but it didn't happen.
Keep in mind, that was a pretty close game up until the third quarter. I mean,
up until you lost it all for me.
No, no, no.
And now even the panhandle. And now, even if McRibs came to our great state, I couldn't eat them because I don't have the $50, I bet.
I'm sorry, Dave. Now, see, that it was tied at halftime, and that game was very, very close. But again, the Lions and the Vikings were smacking each other around, and we lost some. We lost Adam Thielen in that game. They lost Demaryius Johnson in that game, their running back. And it was just a game where they were bruising each other up, and it was a matter of key players losing.
That's the path. Let's get to the future. You picked the Minnesota Vikings to win this Thursday.
I did.
Against the Washington team.
I did.
And you were right. We got one under our belt, so I'm feeling good.
That's
and now Sunday is upon us. We have four more picks, Tim. Let's give a quick rundown. If people are looking to make and place their bets this weekend, who should they run to place their bets with?
Well, here's the deal. I'm going to apologize, first of all, to my good friend Andrew Balzerini out there who said, please, please don't bet on the Seahawks. We have a great record, and every time you bet on them, they lose. Sorry, Mr. Balzerini. I love you, buddy. But they're playing the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta, and Atlanta's just a terrible team. Bet on the Seahawks this week. They will beat Atlanta. Those Detroit Lions that the Minnesota Vikings beat last week, well, they're at home and they're against the Giants this week. The Giants, I thought for sure, would pull out a win last week at home, and they look terrible. The Arizona Cardinals stomped all over them last week. Now they're on the road and they got to take on the Motor City Kitties, who actually look pretty darn good. Despite the fact that the Vikings got the win against them last week, they're going to get some revenge at home. They're going to get the win this week. So again, Seahawks and Lions, bet on them this week. The Bills just continue to stomp over all opponents. With the exception of that game against New England, they have looked spectacular this year.
I think the correct terminology is stampede, because when you're a Buffalo, you stampede, Tim, huh?
All right, if you want to get technical. They're coming up against a Philadelphia Eagles team that has some problems in their defense. Although the Bills don't score a lot of points, they have a tremendous defense, and the Eagles still don't have a great deep threat. So the Eagles are taking on the Bills in Buffalo, and that's a tough place to play. Count on the Buffalo Bills. So you've got the Seahawks, the Lions, the Bills, and our lock game of the week. Of course, Bill Belichick has those Patriots running on all cylinders, and the Cleveland Browns are just a hot mess right now. The Browns are at the Patriots this week, and I do believe the New England Patriots are our lock this week to win at home, and we'll call that one 31-20. That's your games for this week.
All right, very cool. Let's do this. Let's take one more call before the break. You can be a part of our show. All you have to do is give us a call at 651-300-4977. That's the number that you want to call in on and be a part of. This segment is brought to you by our friends at betonline.ag. So remember, go be a part of the fun with us. Help us beat up on Stone Cold Steve Austin and Adam, I've Got Too Damn Many Shows, Corolla, and show them who's the boss when you support your pals here on Beyond the Darkness. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Enjoy this next call brought to you by betonline.ag.
Hi, Dave and Tim. This is Amy Hogan from Alvin, Texas. First off, I'm a longtime listener. I love you guys a lot. You crack me up. Because you were begging for stories, I thought about calling in for a long time because I've had lots of little incidents in my life. So I thought I'd call and let you know the one that's been the most profound in my life. In 1985, my dad was killed by a drunk driver. We were living north of Dallas in a town called Louisville. And it was strange. We kept having him show up here and there. 2 weeks after he was killed, my husband, who's now my husband and I, he was my boyfriend back then, we were sitting in a couch in my house, and this couch backed up to a like sliding glass door that was that entered into the other part of our house. It's kind of an indoor-outdoor room, but my mom used it as an indoor room. Well, my husband and I would always sit there and watch TV after a date, and my dad was a very nervous person. He'd walk around the house smoking a cigarette. Of course, that's while he was alive. 2 weeks after he died, my husband and I were sitting there on the couch talking. We had the TV turned off and we were talking, and all of a sudden we both heard the footsteps of my dad. It was very distinct. My dad had a distinct gait, and when he'd walk through the house, you could hear him. We were used to him doing this when we dated because he was a very nervous person. He would pace until early hours of the morning and finally go to bed. But after he died, we were sitting there and we heard him walking. At first, I thought it was only me because I just felt his presence, but then I heard him walking. I looked at my husband, then boyfriend, and he looked at me with a startled look on his face, and I asked him if he heard my dad, and he said, yes, he's walking right behind us. We heard him walk completely down the hall of the house. We lived in an ultra-modern home that was very long, and it had a very long hall. We heard him walk all the way down the hall, and then the footsteps disappeared. At that point, that's when I realized that there's much more to us than just living in this body, that our soul does go on. I think that was my dad just coming back to make sure we were all okay, like he would do at night when he'd pace the house. That experience was my father walking through the house, and my boyfriend, who's now my husband, experiencing it at the same time as I did, made me realize that there's so much more to our existence. It's what started me on the road to question what happens to us in this world. I've been looking for it ever since. I've been trying to figure it out, and I listen to y'all faithfully, and it helps me cope even now with the loss of my dad. But I just want to thank you guys for being there as a resource for someone who just is trying to figure out where their father went in this great big world of ours. Thank you guys for being there. Thank you for an awesome show. And I'll call back later some more stories. I've had a lot of strangeness in my life. Thanks.
See, it's just that simple. Just a phone call away can put you on the air with Dave and Tim sharing your stories. 651-300-4977. Call in. You may be featured in an upcoming episode. We'll be back. We've got more to share, more news, more wrestlers, and more of your stories right here on Beyond the Darkness.
As always, a big thank you for listening to our show. We'd like to ask you a small but very important favor. And it'll only take a few minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, Podcast One will make it worth your time, literally. We need you to complete a short survey, because the information you give us can help make things better for the show and you as a listener. Just go to podcastone.com/survey, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.com/survey. The first 250 people who complete that survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. And two grand prize winners will be selected at random to get a $100 Amazon gift card. Now, how about that? Free money. It's a win-win. Our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really, really help us cater to the needs of you as a listener. So please go to podcastone.com/survey. Answer some questions and potentially make some money along the way. Thank you for being a dedicated listener. Dave and I here at Beyond the Darkness appreciate you.
Beyond the Darkness.
We're back. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave. That guy over there is Tim at the Supernatural News Desk. Let's dig in. We've got another news story to share. And I want to remind people, we are not on Halloween. But we are on Halloween. We're going to have a special episode that'll be out this Halloween, and it's going to be you, our loving listeners, featured in this episode. Tim is going to put together some of your calls from this past year into one great episode so that you'll be able to tune in and hear ghost stories, supernatural encounters from the listeners. That'll be this Thursday, special Halloween edition of Beyond the Darkness. All right, Timothy, TDD. Where are we off to next in the world of supernatural news, son?
You made me sound like a special needs line there. Is this slaughterhouse actually haunted is the question. Paranormal Pueblo finds the real haunts in this haunted house. That's what this headline says. We go to Tucson, Arizona, where they ask, are haunted houses real or are they just meant to scare the living? There's one haunted house in Tucson, and that begs the question, and it's the subject of this week's Paranormal Pueblo, the slaughterhouse. The slaughterhouse is filled with murderous clowns, cannibal butchers, and other creatures that go bump in the night, but they're only actors in costumes. The real haunts begin when the lights go out. K-Gun 9, Dave, that's the name of this station. K-Gun 9. K-G-U-N.
K-Gun. The gun.
The Tommy gun. Went on a paranormal investigation with two members of the Tucson Ghost Company. At least that's kind of original. Could be something else. Using tools to hear and see what lurks in the dark, Becky and Will Gideson have been to the slaughterhouse a few times to hunt for ghosts, and they say they've had experiences every time. Will says something he couldn't see once tugged on his jacket, at the slaughterhouse, and Becky says the same thing happened to her. I was in this room before, and you pulled on my sweatshirt, and this is also the room that you came up to my recorder and you yelled boo in, she said during the investigation. In another spot where actors' zombies usually roam, the crew heard unexplained noises. During business hours, several employees told us about their own experiences with the paranormal, including door slamming, rotten smells, and sounds of footsteps, something we experienced for ourselves, said K-Gun. So is the slaughterhouse the only true haunted house in Tucson? Becky and the employees say yes. That's the end of that story. They just say yes. Plain out yes.
Definitively.
Yeah.
All right. Nikki Bella is our next WWE star with a ghost story, Tim. Nikki Bella is another former WWE star who claims to have had a supernatural encounter at her hotel. After an evening out in Nashville, Tennessee, while celebrating Vicky Guerrero's birthday with some other prominent wrestling figures, Bella decided to call it a night. When she returned to her room, the total Bella star noticed it was unusually cold, despite the fact that the air conditioner was off. Of course, in any typical horror story fashion, the former champ headed for the shower anyway. Should I say the rest of this story slowly for you, Tim?
Please do.
While removing her makeup.
Thank you.
She thought she heard the air conditioning turn on full blast. Things got a little nippy, if you know what I mean, Tim.
Thank you.
Understandably perplexed, the former Total Divas cast member went to check the thermostat, sans clothes and makeup, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of showing the temperature, the thermostat showed flickering letters as if it was trying to spell out a word. At that point, the Bella twin was spooked and darted across the hallway to Renee Young's room.
Oh.
Well, bow, chicka, wow, wow. One has to wonder if Nikki Bella experienced a ghostly encounter or a faulty AC unit. Or was it Tim underneath the bed with the remote for the AC unit?
That's exactly what it was. I was like,
probably. Yeah. All right. Where are we off to next, sir?
Well, you've played the crane machines before, like a Chuck E. Cheese, you know, trying to win a prize for one of the kids, probably your favorite kid. You wouldn't say which one on the air, right?
Nathan.
Okay, for Nathan. I didn't think that would happen so fast, but thank you.
He's the only one that doesn't bring me heartache and pain.
Okay. Well, yes, congratulations, Nate. So a plush toy, evidently, you know, they sit on top of the pile. They're hard to get to. Sometimes it takes a few shots with the crane. Evidently, with this plush toy, it just up and escaped the crane machine, and it's yours to have if you can catch it. Just saying.
Like the gingerbread man, he just jogged out and took off running?
You got it, buddy. Yeah, if you think a Toy Story-esque escape can only happen in the movies, guess what? Think again. Recently, the owner of the Penny Lane Bar in Nottingham believes that a creepy Toy Story moment occurred when a plush doll made a daring escape from a crane machine at a bar. The bizarre footage was caught on CCTV Tuesday afternoon after the bar staff of Penny Lane in Fletchergate came across a bunch of game prizes scattered on the floor. The short clip starts to show the plush flamingo toy dropping out of the machine and then walking across the dance floor.
That was my my dancer name as well when I was a Chunkendale dancer. Plush flamingo?
Yes, plush flamingo, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Did you have the cute little pink feather skirt as well?
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
That's, that's the best ever. Confused, they reviewed the CCTV to find paranormal activity. Or so they thought. In a scene straight out of the Toy Story franchise, teddies have been caught escaping from an arcade crane machine in a Nottingham bar, apparently.
What?
Yeah, yeah. In a report by Nottinghamshire Live, the bar's general manager, Thomas Vanek, said what happened was so spooky, like a real-life Toy Story moment. The flamingos wanted to go on an adventure. The whole thing could be a marketing gimmick to bring customers to the bar, or could have been a real paranormal activity. Meanwhile, another Nottingham bar has also claimed to have experienced paranormal activity. CCTV footage from the Prism nightclub revealed a fridge that opened by itself while four bottles literally flew out with reckless abandon, bouncing on the floor several times. So there you go, Dave. Just, you know, little stuffed animals wanting to be free from their glass cage. You know, put weapons in their hand and you're in trouble. Just saying.
That's all it is. Speaking of little plush animals that want to be free from their cages, Renee Young is our next WWE champ that had a paranormal experience, Tim. As we've seen, there are several WWE stars who claim to have had one-off encounters with these wayward spirits. However, broadcaster Renee Young actually grew up in a haunted house, or so she would have us believe. In a 2015 video, Young cites several bizarre occurrences that happened inside her childhood home in Ajax, Ontario. The Canadian reality star claims that between the demonic hour of 2 and 3 a.m., she and her brother would often hear a loud banging sound coming from the bedroom ceiling. Moreover, when friends would drop in for a sleepover, they would often hear a mysterious figure pacing up and down the stairs. On the plus side, this ghost or demon wasn't a total freeloader. Young claims that the supernatural being emptied out the dishwasher on occasion. So they were contributing around the house, at least, Tim. That's a nice story.
Yeah.
For Renee Young, you'd empty her dishwasher, wouldn't you?
Well, then John Moxley would beat the holy hell out of me, Dave. That's her husband.
You're just emptying her dishwasher, Tim. I didn't say that you're putting the washer tabs in, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
All right.
There. Yeah.
What's up next in the world of supernatural news?
Well, I believe this is one of them, their stars from overseas. I haven't heard of her. Shanley Caswell cleansed her apartment with sage after making The Conjuring. Well, okay, she's not one of them overseas ones. And we don't blame her. Shanley Caswell knows firsthand what it's like to be haunted. On Wednesday, The Conjuring alum stopped by Daily Pop to discuss the real-life horror story she experienced while making the 2013 film. Caswell, who has detailed her possible haunting for this Sunday's horror-centric E! True Hollywood Story, has revealed that she and other members of the cast would wake up between 3 and 4 a.m. every morning. I woke up and I just yelled at the wall, basically saying, like, please leave me alone because I have to go to bed and I have to wake up in 2 hours. Whatever you are, I don't care. Just leave me alone. Caswell recalled during her exclusive chat with Justin Sylvester and Carissa Kullner, I must have looked like a crazy person. Although Caswell learned that you're supposed to be very direct with entities, she did not find solace during production. In a sneak peek for Sunday's episode, Caswell revealed that famed paranormal investigator Lorraine Warren claimed that causing a lack of sleep is the first step in possession. And as Caswell further revealed on Daily Pop, Warren said there was an entity present amid her visit to the Conjuring set. She came into one of the rooms and she said, there's something here. The NCIS New Orleans actress explained, and we said, that's impossible, Lorraine. We built this set. And then she said, no, it's attached to the items in the room. the furniture. It was all antiques from around the city. This comment from Warren spooked Cass well enough that she never went into that room again. Ironically, Caswell always had a fascination for the paranormal and wasn't afraid to work on The Conjuring. However, in the years following production, the brunette artist's interest into The Other Side lessened. There was a limit where I was like, this is unhealthy. I need to take a step back, the detention actress added. I need to just not think about this stuff so much because it just consumed all my thoughts. Even though life went back to normal after filming, Caswell still cleansed her whole apartment with sage. She said, I sage my apartment. Yeah, I didn't feel any different, but I was just like, just in case I want to cover my bases and just like clean this place out, just in case, Caswell disclosed. For all of this and more, you can check out Daily Pop and the interview on E! Online.
Very weird.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of weird, Tim, I'm still sharing WWE ghost stories because Tim's kind of a wrestling rube.
Oh, yeah.
Loves him some wrestling. And I said I'd do something special for him this week. So we're going to talk about former Raw general manager, his own WWE Network ghost hunting series, Baron Corbin's Haunted World. In the first episode, Corbin headed to a lighthouse in St. Augustine, Florida, which is one of the oldest and eeriest cities in the United States. According to this report, the reigning King of the Ring entered the lighthouse with a local ghost expert. With the help of an EMF meter, the two had a conversation with a spirit who had passed away in the dwelling some years back. In typical heel fashion, the WWE star tried to antagonize the resident ghost by threatening to take a chair from the location. Corbin then decides to sit down in that chair. Apparently, the ghost wasn't pleased with the action. The wrestler's seat soon began to vibrate and caused the lone wolf to jump up to his feet. He would go on to describe a weird swelling sensation in his cheek following the incident. Was this truly a ghostly encounter, or was it a fabricated effort to create good television? Only Baron Corbin knows for certain, Tim. Baron Corbin in this picture, I'm not going to lie, Tim,
yeah,
looks like Aaron Goodwin's brother.
You know, now that you mention it, a little bit.
Well, in this picture, I'm telling you, in this picture here, I'm going to send you the picture.
Oh, I know what he looks like.
No, but in this specific picture, look at him. Tell me that this is not the quintessential Aaron Goodwin-esque face.
Hold on a second here.
He's got the baldness, the goat kind of going on, and that shocked Aaron Goodwin, did someone just poke me in the butthole look.
yeah, in that picture he does, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's very Aaron Goodwin-y.
He, you know, at one time he had really long hair, and then he shaved himself bald probably, gosh, I want to say it was about a year and a half ago. And when he shaved himself bald, I thought, God, he really kind of has that Aaron Goodwin look. But really tall. He's really tall. He's like 6'4", or 6'5". So it would be kind of like a twins look with Aaron Goodwin. Yeah. Kind of an odd deal.
All right. Where are we off to next?
Going to Fort Collins, Colorado, Dave, where it's been ranked one of the most haunted cities in America. I wouldn't think Fort Collins, Colorado would be the one. I don't know if I had to pick one. But it's been ranked one of the most haunted cities in America. Fort Collins came in number 3, according to a new ranking by Yelp. I didn't know Yelp is where you went to go get your haunted cities rankings. But
it is, yeah.
Is it?
Because what happens when you see a ghost? You Yelp.
God, no. I go there for my restaurant rankings. Maybe, you know, if I needed to find a mechanic or a lawyer. I don't know. But I don't know that I'd go there for my haunted city. At Yelp, they determined the most haunted cities in America by the words used in reviews, and their users revealed the spookiest places in the country. That, according to Yelp trend expert Tara Lewis, she explained, these cities are filled with local haunts where the paranormal is normal. These were the most haunted cities in the U.S. according to Yelp. Number 1, of course, Savannah, Georgia. Number 2, New Orleans, Louisiana. 3 was Fort Collins, Colorado. Number 4, Santa Cruz, California. Number 5, believe it or not, Las Vegas, Nevada. Number 6, Austin, Texas. 7 was San Francisco. Number 8, Memphis, Tennessee. Number 9, Orlando, Florida. So more people die in Disney than you think. Just saying. Number 10, Los Angeles. Number 11, Reno, Nevada. Number 12, Honolulu, Hawaii. Number 13, Seattle, Washington. Number 14, Portland, Oregon. Number 15, Chicago, Illinois. I know I nearly died there last weekend.
Wow. No, you almost died in Elgin.
Well,
don't blame it on Chicago.
Yeah, but everybody says I'm from Chicago and they're from an hour and a half elsewhere.
There is that.
Yeah. Number 16, Charleston, South Carolina. Number 17, Boston, Massachusetts. Number 18, San Jose, California. 19 is very interesting, Dave. Madison, Wisconsin.
That I believe. How many people drink themselves to death in Wisconsin?
Yeah, true. And it is a college town. They will drink themselves to death. And number 20 is Sacramento, California. According to Yelp, the list was determined by ranking metro areas by the percentage of reviews that contain the words associated with haunted places like ghost, haunt, and creepy, excluding businesses in the haunted house category. So there you go.
All right. Our next WWE star, CM Punk. Back in '07, CM Punk appeared on an episode of the popular television series Ghost Hunters. This was right after he signed with WWE and got a part on their ECW reboot. The former world champ and the cast visited the famous Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. The accommodations inspired Stephen King's classic novel, The Shinnin.
The Shinnin, you say.
While exploring the location, the straight-edge superstar claimed he saw something unusual, heard what sounded like people running around and small children laughing. The area, which otherwise appeared to be abandoned, sounded like a playground, according to the now-retired wrestler. Still not fully able to fathom the encounter, the former UFC fighter decided to ask the hotel manager if any families with children were staying at the hotel. As it turned out, there weren't any kids checked in at the time. In the end, the skeptical grappler couldn't explain the bizarre encounter that had taken place. And that was the haunting of CM Punk.
You know, just right after that special, we came up and did our trip there.
I know.
Yeah.
Like right on the heels of it.
And we, I think it was either you had texted Grant for me or we had gotten a hold of Grant somehow and asked if he could hold Punk, and at the time his girlfriend Maria Kanellis, who's now married to Mike Kanellis and they're with WWE now, to ask him if he could hold Punk so I could meet him. And they were on their way to the airport. They didn't have time, but I think Grant still talks to Punk to this day. They're still friends. And Grant let me in on a little secret. He said Punk was in his room a lot during that shoot. I guess he wasn't crazy about the ghost hunting stuff.
Oh,
kind of thought it was.
All right.
Kind of thought it was BS.
Yeah. Wow. That's sad.
There you go. Yeah,
but
it was.
But he
it,
learned
it
was, his lesson. He got he freaked did. Out, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He got freaked out by the stuff in the hall, but he thought he wasn't real cool with the whole, you know, sitting around waiting, looking at K2 meters and stuff like that. So, yeah.
A little insight.
There you go.
All right. Speaking of insight, Tim,
yeah,
we've got some insight for our listeners. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all for free. No credit card needed, no sign up. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite television shows and hit movies. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today. Where are we going next in the world of supernatural news, sir?
Well, we talk a lot about baby monitors and scares with babies in general and ghosts. This mom had a ghost baby scare after an alleged paranormal activity went viral. An Illinois mom was given quite the fright when she thought she saw a baby ghost in her son's crib. So
baby ghost do 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 baby ghost do 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 baby ghost do 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 baby ghost.
That'll get stuck in people's head now.
Oh no, you know what? It needs to be altered. I apologize, Tim. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Baby ghost boo 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 baby ghost boo 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 baby ghost boo 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 baby ghost. Huh?
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Let's see, boo. I got rid of the other. It's kind of my genius, Tim, that I can take one thing and make it something else. I don't like to brag, but if I don't, who will? Right?
Nobody.
Am I right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead and sing that all day long, people.
Baby ghost, boo 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 boo. Baby ghost, boo 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 boo. Baby ghost, boo 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 boo. Baby ghost, it's in your head. You're welcome, 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 welcome.
In your head, doon 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 doon. In your head, doon 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 doon. In your head,
in your head. All right,
all right.
Okay, so let's go back to the story.
Yes, I'm sorry. So,
woman on a baby monitor.
Yes, an Illinois mom got quite the fright when she saw what she thought was a baby ghost, boo, 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 baby ghost, in her son's crib, but it was all laughs when she discovered what the alleged paranormal activity actually was, Dave, in October. Oh, they all laughed and laughed and laughed, and then they jumped up in the air like in a sitcom, and they all froze. On October 17th, Maritza Dominguez of Naperville put her son Lincoln to sleep, as she does every night. When she got downstairs, however, she saw something strange in the baby monitor. Inside Lincoln's crib was the face of another baby, she said. I was trying to figure out what it could possibly be, and I couldn't stop staring at it, Dominguez told GMA. I kept thinking maybe I'm making something out of something that's not there. Dominguez texted her husband, Corey, who was at work at the time, to get his input. He suggested maybe it was a drool pattern that looked strange on the baby monitors. Because, you know, babies like to chew on monitors when they're sleeping, Dave. It happens all the time. Dominguez said, we have a very drooly baby. Drooly baby, do drool, do drool, do drool, baby, do. I don't know. He's like a Saint Bernard, she said. Well, that's no way to talk about your baby. I have a drooly baby. He's like a Saint Bernard.
Okay. Drooly baby. You might be baby. Teething, Tim. That happens when you're teething. You get a lot of drool.
Oh, jeez. Dominguez went on to try to investigate, but Lincoln had been sick, and she didn't want to wake him. So he's got the bubonic plague. She then posted the picture in a mommy Facebook group she was part of, asking if other people saw the ghost baby, too, because it was creeping her out. Well, that's the perfect people to ask. Why not? Some of the moms were joking that the crib might be haunted and asked if she got it secondhand, which they did, Dominguez said. Thankfully, my husband is rational and was helping me think more clearly. Dominguez decided it was probably a stain and went to go to sleep. Oh, it's just a stain. He's not being haunted by Satan. But
I don't know. The picture sure as hell looks like a baby face, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. But said she kept opening her eyes every couple of seconds, waiting for the mysterious baby face to move. I had the monitor in front of my face all night and the brightness and volume all the way up, Dominguez said. Every time my son moved, I'd be freaking out all over again. In the morning, Dominguez went to investigate the situation after noticing that her phone was blowing up with notifications on her post from her mommy group. A lot of them were joking, writing things like, the ghost baby got her, Dominguez said. There were so many comments that I couldn't even read them all. She went up to Lincoln's room to investigate, and that's when she saw the giant baby sticker on the mattress underneath Lincoln's sheet. Yeah.
Sure.
Dominguez said her husband forgot to put the mattress protector on the bed when he changed Lincoln sheets, so the face appeared more clearly without that extra layer. I should have been relieved, but I was so embarrassed, Dominguez said. I was like, I can't tell the ladies in my mom group this, but I felt like I owed it to them since they were with me on it since the beginning. Dominguez took the quick picture and sent the hilarious update to her mom Facebook group. The comments kept coming, and several moms asked her to make the post public so they could share it. She did and was amazed at how many people responded, and to date, the post has been shared by almost 300,000, or has been shared over 300,000 times on Facebook. She said, I couldn't believe the response and could have imagined that it would spread so far beyond my friends, Dominguez said, of course, because silly, idiotic stories always do. She said that she thinks her lighthearted, silly parenting story resonates with a lot of parents. Another thing that may resonate with a lot of parents, you may ask. Well, she says it was my husband's fault. Dominguez joked, I still blame my husband, just like a typical wife. No, I'm kidding. Oh, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
Wow. All right. In the list of bizarre tales, Xavier Woods' supernatural encounters arguably the strangest. As a child, the New Day member had several stuffed animals in his room. One evening, the Tang team? Was he a Tang team specialist, Tim?
He's good at whipping
up a glass of Tang?
He is. He's real good at procuring the Tang. if you I know guess. What I mean.
One evening, the tag team specialist woke up to find one of his stuffed panda bears holding a knife.
Yikes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a story. I guess that's what happens when you don't pay your panda bear back in time, Tim.
I guess.
Yeah. Where's my money? The story goes that the bear proceeded to tell the future wrestling champ that he was going to kill and eat him. A young Xavier Woods burst out of his room, but not before taking a few seconds to wet the bed. I don't blame Xavier. I'm on your side. Do you think, though, is there a possibility he wet his bed and then had to come up with a story to back it? What would be worthy of me peeing my bed? How about my panda bear was holding a knife to my offering to, or threatening to kill me?
I would just go with the simple too many protein shakes before bed. But
wow. Well, yeah. There's that.
Yeah.
He then ran to his father and explained what happened. Understandably skeptical, Wood's dad explained it was only a dream. Unconvinced, the young boy demanded that the animal be removed and destroyed. He has no patience for ping-pong the panda, Tim, this knife-wielding little bastard. His father agreed and took the bear away. Weeks later, a furious Xavier Woods discovered the panda in a closet, this time insisted that it was destroyed in front of him. The allegedly possessed stuffed bear was then set on fire and burned to ashes. Fortunately, Woods was neither killed nor eaten.
He's got a real good excuse now if his panda tries to attack him and he wets his bed. He's got a torn Achilles tendon. So he's not going anywhere. He just tore his Achilles last weekend. So,
oh, good God. All right.
Yeah.
Where are we going next in the world of supernatural news?
Well, this one's a little bit controversial, Dave. We go to the world of holly porn.
Holly porn. Holly porn.
Almost literally, we go to the world of Playboy, where girls next door beauties Holly Madison and Bridget Marquardt are planning a séance to contact ex-boyfriend Hugh Hefner. This smells of a stunt, Dave, a big old stunt. If anyone could rise from the dead, it'd be Hugh and a few blue pills, I'll tell you that. Smart money would be on Hugh Hefner, especially when it involves two of the former Playboy magnate's ex-girlfriends, Holly Madison and Bridget Marquardt, who are planning a spooky seance in hopes of scaring up the senior stud, this according to TMZ. In keeping with the ghostly vibe, the supernatural session is, of course, scheduled for Halloween Eve inside Madison's home. But the girls next door gals won't be alone. They've enlisted the help of Patty Negri, the self-proclaimed Hollywood psychic medium. Madison and Marquardt, who were never Playboy bunnies but resided in the Playboy mansion, both share a keen interest in the paranormal. The 45-year-old Marquardt hosts the podcast Ghost Magnet with Bridget Marquardt, and 40-year-old Madison has been dating Ghost Adventures host and Haunted Museum founder Zach Bagans. TMZ notes that insiders close to the pair claim Madison is hoping to contact any spirit, while Marquardt is specifically focusing on communicating with Hefner. Madison's time with Hef wasn't all bunny love, however. In her memoir, Down the Rabbit Hole, she painted her ex as a master manipulator who pitted us against one another and later realized I wasn't treated well. That was her in quotes. She also claimed that Hefner offered her a Quaalude during a night out. After declining the pill, Madison claims Hefner told her, "Usually I don't approve of drugs, but you know, in the 1970s, they used to call these pills thigh openers." Yikes, Hef.
Wow.
Yeah. Hefner died in 2017 at the age of 91 after contracting sepsis from an E. coli infection. So it's this begs the question, and I know I had actually talked to Mally Fox about this. If you have somebody on the other side that you didn't have necessarily a great relationship with, and you're sitting down trying to do a seance, do you really think that Hef's going to come forward and want to talk to Holly Madison?
He might want to make amends, maybe an apology, maybe one more roofie. I don't know.
One more roofie.
Yeah.
Here's a thigh opener for you, Holly. I don't know. I understand Bridget's idea of doing a seance on Halloween and trying to bring forth some spirit, no matter who it may be. I get the idea of doing something for the podcast and doing something sensational for that podcast. But I don't know that it's a great idea to bring forth, especially if you get Hef forth, and all of a sudden all these dirty secrets start coming out, because you never know what's going to come out in something like that.
I guess.
Yeah.
Weird stuff. All right. Hey, speaking of weird stuff, we want to hear your stories. And how do you do that? Well, you give us a call on our Voices from Beyond voicemail at 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977 is the number to call. And when you do that, you can leave a voicemail just like this person.
Hello, Dave and Tim. How are you guys doing today? My daughter said I needed to call in and tell you about my high school adventures. It was probably the year 1985. Sophomore in high school, grew up in a small town in Arizona, had a whole lot going on. We were bored, so we loved playing Dungeons and Dragons in our church leader's basement, which of course labeled us as satanic because we played D&D and listened to AC/DC, Kiss, Iron Maiden, all the devil groups from the 80s. So one day, in English, we were bored, and we decided that we would make an Ouija board. So sophomore year, English class, a bunch of us get together on a notebook paper and draw an Ouija board. We used a quarter for the planchette, and we basically communicated with someone on the other side because it was answering questions that otherwise would not be known. Our teacher ended up leaving the classroom and going somewhere else. Half the students left the class, and half of us stayed there and talked to whoever it was on the other side. My 15-year-old daughter thinks it's pretty funny that we summoned demons, played Dungeons and Dragons, and we also lit fires on our school campus. Because when we were in elementary school, there was a gentleman down the street that was selling fireworks. Back in the 80s, fireworks were legal in Arizona, but that didn't stop us. So we had a fun childhood in school. Anyway, you're doing a great job. Love Holzer Files. Doing a great job on that. Have a great day. Bye.
Another perfect example of why you should share your story, folks. Call in, be a part of our show. It's free, it's fun, and you get featured. Free, fun, and featured, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
The three F's. All right here on Beyond the Darkness. Tim will take those audio bits, and if your story is more than 3 minutes, he'll actually piece them together. So you leave 3 minutes, hang up, call back, start with the story again from there, and he will piece these together into one cohesive story so that you can have your entire tale told right here on the best in paranormal talk radio. All right, Tim, it's time now for us to talk about Dolph Ziggler.
Oh.
At just 4 years of age, a young Dolph Ziggler had a recurring dream in which his closet door would burst open. Inside, he found flames, red lights, and a devil. When Ziggler told his family about the dream, they came up with a viable solution. They decided to equip the show off with a baseball and then proceeded to have him wrap a crucifix around the closed door handle. After all, nothing frightens devils quite like a four-year-old armed with a Louisville slugger, Tim.
Yeah.
The solution actually seemed to work, at least for a few weeks. Unfortunately, one night, an overconfident Ziggler decided not to put the crucifix on the handle, which turned out to be a very, very bad move.
Uh-oh.
Sure enough, the devil went right back to haunting his dreams. When a frightened Dolph Ziggler awoke to try and find his bed, he discovered the previously closed closet door was now open. The cross was laying on the ground nearby. When the WWE star recounted the story, he claimed that it would be the last night he slept in that particular room.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. So there you go, Dolph Ziggler. We only have one story left of WWE superstars that are haunted. Let's hear what we have next in the world of supernatural news, though, Tim.
Well, we go to Phoenix to the Orpheum Theater, where haunted happenings are happening, so to speak. Along with catching incredible performances on stage, guests might catch a glimpse of Maddie and other ghostly apparitions. Since its creation in 1929, the Orpheum Theater in downtown Phoenix has been home to some incredible performances, but throughout its life, the theater has also become known for its paranormal house guests. As Halloween season continues, the writer of the article decided to stop by the iconic theater to learn more about their ghostly guests. From the moment they entered the theater, it felt as if they had walked through a portal in time. Along the walls on the back hallways were countless autographed photos of previous performers of the Orpheum Theater. But as you walk into the theater lobby, the true character of the location is revealed. Ornate decorations adorn the halls just outside the stage, and as you roll through the lobby area, you're bathed in a soft yellow glow from the lights that are hanging overhead. Your voice echoes through the walls as you speak with a couple of people and theater employees that are there. It's easy to see why a ghost would have no problem calling the Orpheum home. David Cruz, the theater venue manager for the City of Phoenix, shares some insight into the theater's haunting history. He says the most prominent ghost walking the property is of a little girl named Maddie. As the most famous ghost in the Orpheum, Maddie has been known to tap people on the shoulder, shush people, and lives in the balcony area. But she isn't the only paranormal sighting in the theater. There are at least four different ghosts that reside here in the theater, Cruz said. We're often put on the most haunted places in Arizona lists. That could be a little confusing there. Cruz said guests can learn more about the apparitions roaming the theater grounds on their ghost tours. Guests can walk the eerie halls and see if they catch a ghost on film. The tours take place every half hour from 6 to 9 p.m. At the end of October here, all the way up until Halloween, you can purchase tickets on the Orpheum Ticket Force website. So there you go.
All right, let's go to our final WWE story, Tim. Tyler Breeze. Last year, Tyler Breeze made a guest appearance on Baron Corbin's Haunted World during the episode Prince Pretty and the 2019 King of the Ring tried to communicate with the departed. The two men visited the Merchant's Cafe, which is said to be the oldest restaurant in Seattle, having opened its doors way back in 1890. As it turns out, the previous structure was destroyed in the Great Seattle Fire, roughly a year earlier in 1889. However, it would seem some of the old inhabitants may still be hanging around in the afterlife. During the show, Corbin and Breeze tried to contact some children who tragically perished in the fire roughly a century ago. The Breezango star heard strange noises throughout the visit, and the EMF detectors picked up some interesting responses. Even the cameraman who allegedly got his beard stroked by some spirits got in on the action. After watching the show, it's easy to see how the cafe landed on the list of Seattle's most haunted places. And that rounds out our wrestling ghost stories for today, Tim.
All right. Pretty cool.
I hope you enjoyed them. I dug them out for you, my friend.
I did. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we off to next, sir?
A ghost chair is scaring away hospital staff as it creepily wheels away on its own. Aside from the increased amount of controversial opinions, petitions to change when Halloween is celebrated, and the expected influx of horror movie hype, the imminence of Halloween has also inspired an interest in supposedly legitimate paranormal activity. For example, one video as of late has been going viral on the internet for showcasing a wheelchair that apparently is moving on its own, and it's been deemed a ghost chair. The event occurred when a security guard named Manoj Kumar, who was working at a hospital in Chandigarh, India, noticed that the wheelchair was moving. The wheelchair appeared to be moving around outside the building without anyone pushing it. Manoj Kumar explained the event where he saw the wheelchair moving by itself and his attempt to justify how. Kumar admitted, "I came out to drink water and I saw the wheelchair moving on its own. While it would be easy to assume the wheelchair simply moved downward from being pushed, it does appear to make a few turns and move in ways that seem a little unnatural." Of course, Kumar does admit that there was a slight breeze at night, which could have helped force the wheelchair in other directions. He says it was just wind and nothing else. He said that in an attempt to justify why the wheelchair could have been moving by itself, although he did admit that it was also feeling very cold, which is usually a sensation associated with paranormal activity. Well, it's definitely not the greatest evidence that supernatural specters walk amongst the living. It's also a neat little video that promises some spooky fun coming up as Halloween continues to approach. So there you go.
All right. How many more stories do we have, good sir?
We have two more.
Two more stories, ladies and gentlemen. It is time now to focus all of your attention on Tim Dennis as we wrap up today's supernatural news. Where is our next story taking us, Tim?
We're going to Bluebell Hill, which, if you mix up those words, could sound like Bluebell Hell. But I'm not going to say that. I'll say Bluebell Hill. Yeah. I don't know, tongue twisters. They're fun, Dave. You know, sometimes I'm very lonely and by myself for long periods of time. Just saying. Woman makes contact with infamous Bluebell Hill ghost, and her conversation changes everything, as long been thought that a ghostly bride haunts the hill at Maidstone. But new information suggests something else is lurking. A paranormal investigator has claimed to have spoken to the Bluebell ghost, and their conversation changes everything that we thought we knew about the infamous specter. Shelley and Matthew Payne have operated paranormal shadow investigations for 10 years now, and they go out on expeditions on most nights. During a ghost hunt in August, the pair filmed a chilling encounter with a ghost who claimed to have been involved in the crash that killed 22-year-old bride Susan Brown in 1965. It is this ghost that the duo believe is the actual Bluebell ghost that haunts the hill on the A2229 in Maidstone. Shelley told Kent Live that it's not the first ghost that she's encountered. She said, "We've been doing this 10 years, and we do it on most nights, so we're very used to things like this." As with most ghost hunters, Shelley said she has to be patient with non-believers. She said, "We use spirit boxes and ITC communications to ask ghost questions. People don't usually believe us until they come along, and then they hear the ghost answer our questions. Then they generally believe. Bluebell Hill is well known in the paranormal world, with more than 50 reported supernatural sightings in the area. It has made a name for itself as one of the most famous haunted spots in Kent, with many motorists claiming that they have seen a young bride waiting by the roadside. It's believed that this ghost is that of 22-year-old bride Susan Brown, who was killed with two friends in a road traffic accident near the bridge over the old Chatham Road on the eve of her wedding on November 19, 1965. 4 years after the accident, a man on his way home to Rochester late at night saw two pedestrians walking towards him, then suddenly disappear. That's the story anyway, but according to, well, Patricia died on the hill, not the bride. That's the story anyway, according to Shelley and Matt, but the facts don't add up. During a seance in August, Shelley claims to have entered into a conversation with a ghost on the hill whose knowledge of the incident began to ring some alarm bells. Shelley said, "We asked the ghost its name, and it said Patricia, and then we asked it questions about the crash, and it came straight back. We were looking up the answers, and it already knew them. It even knew the minute details, like the name of the car. I thought we were talking to the bride, but then we did some research, and we found that the bride actually died in the hospital. It was her friend Patricia that died on that hill. That really confirmed it for us that we were talking, that what we were talking to was the real deal. Patricia is not the only ghost on Bluebell Hill. Other motorists have reported hitting a woman wearing a red scarf near the Robin Hood Junction who stares intently at the driver before disappearing under the bonnet. According to legend, this could be a young Rochester maid who was allegedly murdered in the early 20th century. The maid named Emily Trigg visited her mother in Bluebell Hill every Sunday, and she was last seen walking with a soldier on Bluebell Hill in 1916. Kent Live has approached the ghost of Bluebell Hill for comment on her true identity, is what it says here. It doesn't say whether they got any comment or not. So there you go.
We found our thrill on Bluebell Hill. What do you think, huh?
I like it. I think it's a hit.
The ghost gave us the chills on Bluebell Hill. Thank you, everybody. You can order that new CD from Darkness Dave, singing the best of songs that should never be sung. I'm Dave Schrader. All right, Tim, where are we off to next in the world of supernatural news?
Along with baby ghost, boo, 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 baby ghost.
Baby ghost, boo, 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 baby ghost, boo, 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 baby ghost. And our number one top hit song, Tim.
What's that?
Phenomena.
Do, 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 do.
Phenomena.
Phenomena. Now they all hit.
Yeah, all the hits are there, Tim. All of them.
They all are, yeah.
You don't know which one of those earwigs is going to stick with people today, but they're all there.
On one vinyl record from KTEL for $9.99.
That's right. And it's a clear, see-through LP, Tim. Ghost-like. We call it the ghost record.
That's right. That's right. One last story here for you, Dave. One last story. And it's actually a show I'm looking forward to. Not that I didn't look forward to any of the other ones that came out this fall, because I did. But this one, I find these stories fascinating, and I'll tell you why here in a second. You're going to think this is odd. There's a new Travel Channel series called Famously Afraid, which will feature celebrity encounters with the paranormal. In a new Travel Channel series suitably titled Famously Afraid, celebrities ranging from championship athletes to Emmy Award-winning actors will provide personal, detailed accounts of their experiences with paranormal activity. In each episode, three celebrities and additional witnesses will offer an eerie behind-the-scenes look into the unearthly encounters, varying from UFO sightings, demonic possessions, haunted houses, and more. Famously Afraid echoes the Travel Channel's commitment to paranormal programming. In October, as part of its 31 days of spine-tingling adventures, the channel added 7 new series and 4 miniseries and specials. Now, if you've seen the commercials are fascinating. You've got Hollywood stars such as Howie Mandel, Tori Spelling, Amber Rose, Kate Flannery, Montel Williams is on them as well, and more. And they tell their tales with the supernatural in the new series. Travel Channel General Manager Matthew Butler said in a press release, for many of these celebrities, it is the first time that they're choosing to share their paranormal accounts with the their personal accounts with the paranormal. From unexplainable encounters to strange run-ins with spirits, even superstars can have terrifying experiences with the supernatural, and we are excited to share these spine-tingling stories with Travel Channel viewers on Famously Afraid, Butler added. In the show's opening episode, America's Got Talent judge Howie Mandel recalls when a spirit in his home targeted his young daughter, then Queer as Folk actor Hal Sparks tells how he was able to connect a childhood encounter with aliens to one of his first jobs in the entertainment industry. Finally, former Dance Moms personality Christy and Chloe Lukasiewicz describes touring the LaLaurie Mansion in New Orleans, which left them scared beyond belief. Famously Afraid premieres November 5th at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on the Travel Channel. So there you go. What I find interesting about celebrity encounters, Dave, is some of them are downright spooky, and sometimes I find celebrities tend to be more open to this type of thing. For some reason, I think it's the artistic side of them. And the other is sometimes they're very much missed. Like we'll hear something and it's, oh, and then this orb, and you go, oh, come on, orbs, don't say orbs.
Right. You know? Exactly.
So they're either it's like the most terrifying thing you've ever heard in your life, and you're like, my God, how did you live through that? Or it's, and then the orb of my grandma came through, and you're like, oh, no, honey, come here. You know?
All right. Speaking of television programming, mm-hmm. Thank you all for turning out and helping support the Holzer Files. Your response has been great. The letters, the comments on social media have all been fantastic, and I thank you. We are 4 episodes in on the series. This Thursday, Halloween, I think they're going to air one of their favorite repeat episodes, and then we're back again next week with another brand new episode of the Holzer Files. And next week is, of course, the Ghost Adventures Halloween special. They're going to the Conjuring House, and they're going to be investigating that case in a 2-hour special. And I've been told they get some really bizarre, life-altering kind of experiences taking place. Right after will be a special replay of one of our favorite episodes that's aired so far of the Holzer Files. And then again, like I said, back next week with all brand new episodes. Please remember to watch those episodes. If you DVR them, watch them within 3 days so they count towards the ratings, and keep me on the air for many more years to come, because damn it, I've got a lot of mouths to feed. That's all I'm saying. And tomorrow we're going to be joined by Dr. Paul Leslie. His book, Shadows in the Sessions, The Presence of the Anomalous in Psychotherapy. We kind of touched on that a little bit on our True Crime Tuesday program this week. We're going to go a little bit deeper on tomorrow's program, so make sure that you tune in for that. Tim, it's been a pleasure, sir.
Yeah, definitely. Pleasure is all mine.
We'll see you back here tomorrow with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave. That's Tim. This is Beyond the Darkness.